So please welcome Becca Bean, our very own.
Good morning, my friends, and happy Palm Sunday. Woo. This is the final week of Lent and the Holy Week before Easter. And this year, Palm Sunday and Easter fall in the month of April. And in Unity's tradition of the 12 powers, in April we celebrate the power of love, as Bill so beautifully reminded us. Metaphysically, love is the ability to attract, unify, and desire. It's identified with the disciple John, who represents unconditional acceptance and forgiveness. Now, I grew up a Southern Baptist, so I was pretty unfamiliar with the traditions of Lent, like fasting and giving up chocolate. But I was so happy to realize that Unity marks this season in a unique way. Instead of giving up the things that we enjoy for 40 days, we fast from negative thoughts or behaviors that we feel separate us from God or from our authentic selves. Now, I chose my talk title today, Stop in the Name of Love, of course, inspired by the great song by the Supremes, and because today I want to focus on those beliefs that seem to come between us and love. Love for ourselves, love for others, and love from God. So let's start out with the basics. Now, as children, we all learn that God is love. Unity author Eric Butterworth writes that we've accepted the Bible statement that God is love as if it were like a commodity, a useful item like a barrel of oil or maybe a bag of coffee beans. Something that God has, and God gives it to us, and we have it, and then we pass it along to other people. But actually, it's more of a description of what God is than what God does. God is love is expressed in the same way as God is life. God is intelligence. God is love. I am the activity of God expressing itself as me. God is life, and I am life manifesting as my body. God is intelligence, and I am that intelligence in the wisdom of my mind. God is power, and I am that power in my strength and my creativity. God is love, and I am that love expressing in and through and as my loving heart. Well, now that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? If you start your day off like me, though, looking at Facebook and listening to the morning news, sometimes it's pretty hard to believe that many of us in the world right now are really expressing our God through our loving hearts. I didn't see that on Facebook today. In his wonderful book, Celebrate Yourself, Eric Butterworth writes an iconic paragraph that he wrote 33 years ago, but when I read it, it's like it could have been written yesterday. He says, when the world around is in turmoil, you may be confused about where we're supposed to stand. When social issues become polarized and politicized, people may demand to know, are you for us or against us? It's important to know that you don't need to become trapped in a disagreement. The one thing to be against is the tendency to react in anger or hostility. And the important thing to be for is the way of love. I don't know about you, but those sentences really gave me some hope this morning. Mr. Butterworth has put it out there pretty clearly for us. The world moves. Hang on to your hat, hang on to your temper, and be for love. Stop. In the name of love. So let's get started on our path today to be love this morning. I had to do a little soul searching as I was examining some of the beliefs that I have that were blocking me from the flow of love or where my limited thinking was getting in my own way. So what is it that gets in the way of love? Well, error thinking. We hear a lot of that phrase in Unity. Error thinking is a negative state of mind. It's the wrong use of our divine ideas that we have inside us. It's a belief that is untrue. Now, for me, number one on my list of error thoughts that block me from love is self-doubt. It's a lack of confidence in my abilities, a lack of trust in our power and our intelligence, feeling tentative about sharing our wisdom, being afraid to show our strength and our creativity. Self-doubt blocks me from loving myself and making the most of who and what I am. Over many years in professional development, I can honestly say I never walked into a staff meeting where I didn't feel that everybody in that room knew more than I did, and that they had already had 10 more creative ideas than I could ever imagine. And later on in seminary, I felt pretty much the same way. I rarely spoke up in class, only when I was called on, and I never really envisioned that I would teach and preach when I was ordained. But after 5 years of doing this work now, I have to tell you, I still do a little dance with self-doubt, though it's somewhat less rigorous than it used to be. One Unity affirmation Britt just reminded us of backstage that really helps me move past self-doubt is a classic Butterworth. It is not I, but the Christ within who does the work. Now, self-doubt can happen to all of us at some points in our life. Anybody here ever feel any self-doubt? Let me see you. Yeah, we're on the same page. It's not just about work, is it? It's about how we look and how we speak and how we're raising the kids or maybe even how we're planning for retirement. For me, self-doubt usually likes to hold hands with worry. Late at night, it's me and worry and self-doubt having a full-on conversation at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the only thing I can do to make them shut up is to pray. You know, when those guys out at Silent Unity decided that the prayer helpline needed to be available 24/7, that was a good day for all of us, I think. Every one of us has those long, dark nights of the soul where we're worried or grieving or in fear. When there seems to be no answer in sight, what a comfort it is to pick up the phone and hear a voice saying, "How may I pray with you?" In the middle of any storm, getting centered in prayer automatically returns us to our center of love. And, fortunately, in the light of day, we can move our feet and seek out even more practical ways to turn away from negative thinking. Psychology Today suggests that we can also do some things like find a mentor to go to ask for advice. Find a person who really listens to you and helps you get your feet on the ground. A therapist, a life coach, a minister, or a trusted friend. Man, we all need to surround ourselves with trusted friends. Sometimes in competitive situations like work, we can find ourselves surrounded by toxic friends, frenemies, who try and bring us down to the level of their insecurities. Seek out the friends who support you and encourage you. Those are the folks that are worthy of our time. Sometimes to release self-doubt, we have to forgive ourselves. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a tendency to want to dwell on the times when I have really messed up, when I have failed or caused someone else pain. But to get centered in love, we have to let go of that energy that we're wasting on guilt and choose self-compassion. We can try some reachable little goals that we can accomplish and celebrate. We can take a few baby steps to explore our potential and reward ourselves, even with the smallest win. And here's a really simple one. Take a breath. Remember, a deep inhale and a hard exhale. Deep breathing is a great habit to reduce our stress and our self-doubt. Number 2 on my error thinking list is the idea of me first. Now, that might sound a little weird, but for me first is an attitude somewhere between apathy and selfishness. It's my belief that in order to survive and succeed in my own life, I sometimes have to carefully guard my own heart and my good first. That I'm not really my brother's keeper all the time, and that it's not really my problem to love the whole world every day. Or if maybe I need to close my eyes, to the needs of others around me. Me first thinking blocks me from the love that is mine to share with others. And like any blocked stream, like a pond, there is no inlet or outlet of God's good, and it is stagnant and unproductive. Now, granted, some of us here this morning could literally become overwhelmed with the waves of need we see in our world today. The disorder in our government, racial unrest, the turmoil in Syria, little kids coming to school hungry, and underemployed parents struggling to make ends meet every month. Maybe this morning, before you came to Symphony Space, you might have felt you needed to put on your street face, shutting down your heart, just to get here, to hurry quickly past someone with their hand out. Well, me first thinking sometimes can be a necessary self-protection. If we're on the path this morning to stop in the name of love, we have to change our thinking. We have to turn away from me first and embrace a different thought of generosity. Now, generosity is a lot more different things than just writing a check. Generosity is being a center of love and kindness, being in the flow of abundance, open-hearted, broad-minded, and gentle. Research tells us that generosity positively affects our mental and our physical health. It supports our immune system, and it heightens our sense of purpose. Generosity shifts the focus off ourselves. If you get a little obsessed like I do sometimes with self-criticism, it's a wonderful distraction from those uncertainties and that error thinking. I just saw a TV show this week about Princess Diana, someone whose generosity and kindness are still remembered around the world. Now, she fought her own battles with depression and bulimia for many years, but finally, after her divorce, she seemed to shake off her self-doubt and really blossomed into an icon of compassion. She shocked the world by being the first royal to publicly embrace people with HIV and AIDS. And she courageously brought awareness to the human destruction that landmines cause in war-torn countries. But you don't have to be a princess or a hero this morning. There's some wonderful, simple ways that we can stop in the name of love and choose to become generous in spirit and in deed. Is there a need or an organization in our city that touches your heart? Give them a call. Go on their website and ask about volunteering. If you have a special talent like teaching or computer skills, or even just strong arms and a willing heart, there is a spot that's waiting for you to be of service right here at Unity of New York or wherever your heart calls you. My sister just finished her volunteer training in hospice in a facility in North Carolina. And she was telling me about how one volunteer's chosen job for the whole first year was to be sure that during their shift, every hospice patient had ice and fresh water at their bedside. Now, that sounds like a really small thing, but what a huge blessing. That one task done consistently with love touched the lives of the nurses and the aides who were saved many steps every day by refilling the pitchers. And it certainly blessed the patients who had a fresh drink every time they needed it. When we can stop in the name of love and drop the armor of me first, even the smallest needs of others can be served and radiate big love. Now, the third and final error thought that I am ready to stop in the name of love today is my belief in separation, my fear that sometimes I am outside of the reach of the love of God, that my life is dwindling and out of control. Lately, some friends of mine of a certain age seem to fall into conversations about our mortality and the funny and not so funny realities of getting older and the realization that we've probably been alive more years than we have still to enjoy. Old age is not for sissies. Some of us are angry, some of us are scared, some of us rage against the dying of the light, and some seem to be able to make peace with this inevitability. When I first encountered Eric Butterworth years ago in the 1980s, he was already a pretty old guy. So when I read this sentence recently of his, I felt he had a real understanding then and now about what I've been feeling lately. He says, "Our fears, our resentment, our anger, and even grief come because we feel the instability of life in the world and that it's a threat to our existence. But Jesus gave us the answer. The kingdom of God is within you." Jesus said, "Do not be anxious about your life, but seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be yours as well." In other words, look within. Move back into the flow of life and love, and you will receive all that you desire or need. Just as my fear and my feeling of separation confused and alarmed me, I can choose to remember to turn back to that stream of love that is always in me and all around. Mr. Butterworth says, "God is everywhere and in everyone. God is the one, the whole of things, the allness of which I am an eachness." Now, I didn't get that for years, but I'm finally starting to understand it. There can be no other eachness quite like me. And my eachness can never be separated from the allness that is God. The Greek said, "Man, know thyself." I can only know the one as I know myself, as the self-livingness of the one. When I stop in the name of love and practice the presence of God, I know what to do when separation scares me. I can pray, I can meditate, and I can immerse myself in this spiritual community on a regular basis. Thank God we found each other, as Sean reminds us, and we can come and sit right here on a Sunday morning together. We can keep our commitments to pray with our prayer partners for extra support. We can call Silent Unity or meet with a prayer chaplain or take a Tuesday night class or a workshop. When my anxiety about aging just gets too distracting, I can seek out my tribe and surround myself with younger and older love-filled people who are also seeking to grow and learn and know God better. So how do we all stop in the name of love and clear away our error thinking? Well, first, we wake up. We become aware when we're feeling negative and wasting our divine energy. We can seek good advice from loving mentors and take time to breathe. With awareness, we can change our thoughts from error thinking to being in the flow of love. Then we can pray. Turn over our concerns to God and shut down that 3 a.m. worry fest with some strong denials and affirmations. Self-doubt has no power over me and my decisions. I am a powerful, creative woman of God. My heart is open and receptive to unconditional love, and I give my time and talent and treasure with joy. I can never be separated from the love of God. And we can meditate. Meditation is truly an experience of loving and being loved at the center of us, at the level of consciousness where we love God and God loves us. Just like a flower unfolding in the sun, our heart center, our center of love, opens in meditation and the practice of the divine presence of love. Close your eyes for just a moment, please. Listen to these words and then affirm them after me. I have within me all the love of the universe. Together, I have within me all the love of the universe. Love is the heart and the root of all things. Love is the heart and root of all things. There is no such thing as the absence of love. There is no such thing as the absence of love. Open your eyes, please. 13th century poet and mystic Rumi wrote, "Your task is not to seek for love, but to merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." So this Holy Week, I'm going to ask you to join me in fasting from your particular error thoughts and practice seeing with the eyes of love. Maybe this week you'll be sitting on the train or waiting in line at the deli, and I want you to make this a real challenge. I want you to pick a person that is the most difficult one in sight and salute the divinity in them. I want you to pick the curmudgeon. I don't want you to pick that little adorable baby that's asleep over there in the stroller. I want you to pick that 4-year-old that's having a tantrum right at your feet. I want you to love the person who is complaining in their cell phone. Just focus your love on them for 1 minute and see them transformed in your own thinking and imagination. Silently affirm the Christ presence in them. See their way made smoother and know that their challenge in this moment is solved by love. And if you have another minute, watch what happens. I can't wait to hear what you find out. Love can break down all barriers, destroy all walls, and wipe out separation and isolation. Our world today needs the power of love. I join with you in this month of April in moving past our error thinking and into the constant flow of love. And as Rumi said so perfectly, let the beauty of love be what you do. And so it is. Amen. Thank you. Hey, baby.
Thank you, honey.
Becca, thank you for that message of powerful reminders. The power of love. As I was listening, I was thinking of so many of us who have been around Unity for so many years, knowing that our real mission statement is this stuff works. And it really does. And what a perfect message for Palm Sunday. The crowds were thick in the Jerusalem streets leading to the temple. They had come for the sacred Passover pilgrimage. Many people were waving palms and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." This was Jesus' joyous and triumphal entry into the city of David. When he entered the temple, he drove out the moneymakers and the money changers. He overturned their tables. The chief priests and scribes were indignant, and they asked Jesus if he heard what the children were saying and what they were calling him. "Hosanna to the Son of David." Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself?" This was Jesus' triumphal entry and cleansing of the temple. We know how the story of Holy Week goes. In only a few short days, the roar of the crowd shifted from "Hosanna" to "Crucify him." The mood of the disciples ran the gamut from exaltation to abject fear. However, suppose we were Jesus' disciples and had no comprehension of how the story would unfold, although Jesus had told us several times. All we knew was that the people were with us, and Palm Sunday was a smashing success. Nevertheless, after that triumphant day, things didn't go the way we expected. We run a similar risk when we place our faith in false gods, such as public opinion, the stock market, our job and our pay, or even the results from our latest doctor's appointment. In today's world, people go from hero to zero in a nanosecond. When our foundation is not God, we are building on shifting sands. Anybody who has experienced an earthquake knows that the land beneath your feet is not always solid ground. Jesus knew this lesson well. He didn't put his faith in the crowds. He knew the real foundation was the Christ within. And when we live from this realization, our lives are blessed beyond our wildest dreams, no matter what. So as we prepare to remember that truth, that we are blessed beyond our wildest dreams, we take this time to stop in the name of love and to let go and to know no matter what, we are so blessed. I am so blessed for all that I have, for all that I am, and for all that God is. Let's know this together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
We are so blessed. And as we move into our time of meditation, please settle back intentionally into your chair. And just imagine the many blessings of God that are all around you in this moment. Maybe you feel a little brush of air against your cheek, or a smoothing of the tight muscles in your shoulders as you move your focus from your busy mind down into the quiet calm of your loving heart. In this still place of peace, deep in our loving heart space, we are immersed in love like nowhere else. There is nothing to fear or shy away from. Here, we can look with complete calm and clarity at all that we are and all that we can be as we express and embody God's love on earth. Call to mind now a beautiful, flowing body of water. You can hear the sound of the water moving over the rocks and see the sun sparkling on the surface. You might see a little frog jump or the flip of a fish tail break through the surface, or become aware of little birds waiting in the shallows for a drink. Whether your image is a mighty stream like the Amazon River, or a fresh spring meandering deep through the woods, feel the power of a similar stream of love flowing in your heart. Let the flow of God's love carry you this morning into an even deeper level of calm and stillness. And now, imagine confidently wading into the stream, lying down on your back and trusting your natural buoyancy so that you relax and float gently away from the shore without concern, knowing that the gentle current is guiding you safely past any rocks or rapids. Release any concerns as the power of love lifts and inspires you this morning. Let this rising river of love lift you higher now. Feel your heart opening to the prospering, healing power of love. And as we move into a few moments of silence, ask your heart, what does love mean to me this morning? Does a person come to mind? Is it your wonderful pet? Is it an amazing new idea that sparks your imagination and makes your spirit soar? Rest for a moment with your love in the silence. First Corinthians reminds us to abide in this moment. And now faith and love and hope, these three abide. But the greatest of these is love. God is love. I am love. We are love. And so it is. Amen.